Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua pulled the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the airways of American Muslim 360. I am your host this evening, Kareem Hamid, registration manager for American Muslim 360. It seems as though our sister, New Princess Aziz, was not available for her broadcast this evening, keeping it real, talk about it. We recognize that this is a celebratory weekend, you know, Memorial Day, and sometimes we plan events with our family, which is most valuable and very essential. And we hope that that is what our beloved sister has done, that she is enjoying her family, and may Almighty God bless her and them with the best day today. Praise be to Allah. There's no more valuable time to be spent other than in communication with Allah and with the Prophet Muhammad's character and his sunnah. And next is the family tie. Praise be to Allah. So we hope that all of us, praise be to Allah, are able to enjoy our family during this Memorial Day weekend. Praise be to Allah. The broadcast that follows Sister Lou Princess Aziz, it is entitled Contemplation of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. And what is shared is the insight, the train of thought, the logic, the path of knowledge and wisdom that Imam Muhammad displayed in communicating with us, his insights, his wisdom, and his clear vision, sharing with us from Quran, from the life of our Prophet Muhammad, and clear understanding in the reality in which we live, this dunya, this world that we are living in. And he was and always will be very valuable to the evolving of the human being as long as we keep his knowledge and his wisdom in, connected with the Quran, the life of Prophet Muhammad, and our life experiences. So what he did was, prior to his passing, he had three very close friends, very close confidants, and he would have them meet at his house. I believe it was every Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, meet with him. And he would sit and speak with them on subject matter and the knowledge and wisdom in that subject matter. These were private sessions, and they were taped. The imam asked them if they would tape these meetings, and that's what they did. And the imam shared very deep understanding, very deep wisdom, and that was recorded on those tapes. The imam asked, it was Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, and our beloved brother, Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. Those are the three that he met with and shared with them his insights. Each session was taped. Now, why would he, I mean, what, how can I put this in? Yes. What was its purpose? Yes. Purpose was so that the knowledge and the wisdom that one possesses will live on beyond their physical presence, that it not be lost, that it is valuable and it is preserved. And you preserve that by publishing it, by publishing it. And publish only means to be given to the public, to make it known from the original source. That way no one can come behind that piece of knowledge and change it or lie or act as if it don't exist. So the more people know about it, the longer its lifespan and its purity. So the imam asked them if they would transpose what had been recorded on the tape recorder, if they would transpose that into writing, and then separate it into books based upon subject matter. If they would transpose it from recording to actual print, and that they had the rights to it, of publishing rights, and all proceeds that came from this endeavor. So that is what they did. They transposed it from tape recorder to writing, and they published books. One is called Thoughts or Searches. I have copies of them here with me. I don't have them all, but I have copies of them with me. After Difficulty, the book After Difficulty, one on religion, racism, and reconciliation. Another one on Follow the Leader. Great insights in those publications. So, Brother Morocco and Brother Ghani have since transitioned. May Allah forgive them their sin, grant them the home in the paradise. But Imam Ronald B. Shaheed is still publishing and distributing those books. And we here at American Muslim 360, we want to help in the preservation of the knowledge and wisdom of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. So we know that this broadcast, it reaches a lot of people. And we share with them the content of each of these wonderful books, these wonderful publications, and give contact information as to where and how these precious jewels can be that you can purchase them yourself or your own library and share with others. So we here at American Muslim 360 want to make our contribution in the publication, in publicizing the insights, the knowledge, the logic, the wisdom, the train of thinking of our beloved leader, Imam Wahdati Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. So that is why we have the broadcast, Contemplations of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, here on American Muslim 360, to share with the listening audience and public. This broadcast reaches the Caribbean, it reaches Canada, and some countries in Central America. So as we broadcast, that is our purpose, is to share the insight of Imam Wahdati Muhammad on a global scale, inshallah. So with that said, let me... Praise be to Allah. Let me pause now for some important public service announcements. And once we return back, we will share the insights of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. I have a two-volume Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, along with those other books that I mentioned on race, religion, reconciliation, Follow the Leader, After Difficulty, And there are more publications that I'm going to get and share, inshallah, over the air, so that we can help spread the knowledge that we were blessed with. Praise be to Allah. So I will begin, inshallah, at the Ramadan session. It was in Little Rock, Arkansas. The date was March the 19th, 1992, in the Imam Muhammad facility, a Ramadan session. And you know the Ramadan sessions were special in that the Imam went into very deep knowledge. They were very special. They were not for the faint of heart. They were for us. They were for those that he mentioned that have a thirst for knowledge. First, the Imams were the only ones that could attend these special sessions. Then the Imam opened them up to all of us. So I will be sharing from one of the Ramadan sessions. It was in 1992. March 19th, 1992. Last week we ended on. I'll just begin over because we didn't get too far. I'll just begin over with this Ramadan session. I'll begin at the beginning, because I'm not sure if those of you that are with us now was with us last week. So anyway, I pause now for special public service announcements. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference, the CWSC. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back. Praise be to Allah. You're listening to American Muslim 360. And this is a broadcast entitled The Contemplations of Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this evening. And there are two other hosts for this broadcast, Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam and Imam Michael Hanin. I know Imam Michael Hanin has an earlier engagement, and inshallah, he will join us in the second hour. If Mahasan, if you are with us, press one on your phone. I will open up your mic. If not, I'll go ahead on and begin the reading, inshallah. I tried to call it, but I understand that this is a family-oriented celebrating weekend, and we definitely encourage that. So, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Okay, let me begin. This is, I'm starting off from where we read from last week. Oh, no, I think I'll begin where we ended up. I think I'll begin there. Yes, praise be to Allah, where we finished off that. Very important point. Okay, this subject matter here that the Imam is sharing with us, it's titled, The Scholars Will Be Next to the Prophet in the Heaven. And it reads, and the knowledgeable people will be next to the prophet in the heavens, the scholars. Now, we see if the scholars all go upstairs, do we have the same problem the world had before Muhammad? So we're not thinking of Muslim scholars as persons, just studying fiqh and things. The Muslim scholars, the Muslim doctor, the good Muslim doctor, he's a scholar too. He's supposed to be guarding his profession with Quran and Sunnah. And he's supposed to be feeding his profession, Quran and the Sunnah. The better he knows Quran and Sunnah, the more enlightened a medical doctor he will be. And the more he will be able to help society with his skills and resources. That's why we have seen in the history of Muslims, and even today, a Muslim who is devoted to one of the physical sciences, but when he has an opportunity to give a khutbah, we don't see him as such at all. We see him as a pious person delivering a khutbah on Quran or some aspect of Islamic knowledge. We can't tell he devoted all of his time and he spent 60 hours in his field. We can't tell that. Looks like the only field he has is Quran and Sunnah when he's talking to us on some aspect of Islamic knowledge. That's what Allah wants. That is exactly what Allah wants. Released on your own recognizance. That's why I say we ought to make money. Why I'm emphasizing this. I think God has given me a condition within myself where money is no temptation. I don't want money for money's sake. I don't want wealth for wealth's sake. I want money to better this community and to better my own condition. How am I going to better the community, American society, African American people, European, French? I don't care what he is. He is going to be impressed that this Negro has come along this road and now is wealthy. So, you see, when your intent is right and you have obeyed it long enough to be released by God on your own recognizance, say, then you can rush, you can race. Well, I'm ready to race. If you're not, just try to follow me. because we're not going anywhere without that. I'm telling you, we'll just be right here in the crib until we're finished. And I believe Allah wants us to do this. Allah wants us to get into the productive arteries of this world. Get in there. If anybody should be looking for money, it should be people who don't have any. It's just that simple. If you don't have any money, you ought to be trying to get some. And those that have some, I can see them hesitating. They've got plenty, and they're already comfortable. People who don't have any money, they can't even pay the light bill. Can't keep the telephone on, and they don't want some money. What's wrong? If there is anyone that have any statements to make from what I have said thus far, I ask you to press one on the phone. I look forward to hear your insightful reflection. Let me make some commentary here where the imam said that we should, well, for real, the fact is made that we should not neglect to get into the financial arteries of this world. We Muslims are not a people that have took a vow of poverty. There are some religious orders, and among them are religious orders that have took a vow of poverty. Al-Islam is not among that type of thinking. We do not take a vow of poverty. We desire wealth. We desire the riches of this creation. We desire the best of it. We do not take a vow of poverty, nor do we ignore our obligation to take control of some of this physical earth. And inshallah, use those gifts to enrich the condition of human beings. Otherwise, we will continue. We will be powerless. Powerless. You know, I have heard I have been in meetings and plans were made. Wonderful plans. Beautiful plans. But prior to the ending of the meeting, if the question is asked, now how shall we fund that? Then you hear crickets. So we cannot ignore the financial obligation to get hold of, to possess finance. Praise be to Allah. I'll stop right there. Just clarification. Praise be to Allah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next subject matter that the imam mentions, he mentioned W.D. Farrar. W.D. Farrar. We are grateful to Almighty God for creating the circumstance and situation that brought W.D. Farrar to the slums of Detroit. We thank God for Allah for allowing that. Praise be to Allah. We thank Almighty God. Because from out of that, that was our pathway to El-Islam in its pure context. We are a unique people. There are no other people on earth like us. There were no people like us until we entered this country and have been the shape by, praise be to Allah, shaped by the environment of this country. And we were in a unique situation that no other people had ever been put in. No other people on earth had been put through the crucible of chattel slavery that was demeaning and to the degree that we experienced. That is a unique experience, and we survived it while we are yet here. But in that survival, we were born in shape. There is no one that think like us. There's no other people on earth that are like us because of that uniqueness. And Almighty God, praise be to Almighty God, I believe He has favored us. He has favored us to take us back to our original nature as a sign to the whole world. I'll stop right there. Okay. So that's why I say we should be grateful for W.D. Farrar, as the Imam called him, W.D. 40. Here's the Imam's statements on him. W.D. Farrar used us to slap the white man in the face. In the Bible, Ezekiel's wheel is never pictured as a vehicle or instrument for destruction. It just says that it drew the faces. Let me say that again. In the Bible, Ezekiel's wheel is never pictured as a vehicle or instrument for destruction. It just says that it drew the faces, the people, in the direction. W.D. Farrar, who taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah forgive them for their sin, he gave us the Ezekiel's wheel as the warship. What is he saying? He's saying that this world made a science of that and used it to destroy. And he's saying it indirectly in his story. He is, as I see him, a man that's in the Western society to ridicule it, their most precious knowledge, to laugh at them, so to speak, to make mockery, saying, okay, here's what you call a fool. Try to identify me. Look at what I'm saying about you. So he used us just to slap the white man in the face and laugh at him. I'm not saying that's all that was in him. I think he was, perhaps, hoping for credit with Allah. He was hoping for credit with Allah, but he knew he had stepped inside. No, pardon me, but he knew he had stepped outside the disciplines of a Muslim and was doing something very devilish and reckless. He knew that. However, he did have insight, knowledge above most of the people in Islam, Christianity, or in any other religion. He definitely had it. We have to give him that. The next subject matter, Farrar, Earth and Moon. Farrar, Earth and Moon. He, speaking of Farrar, he talked about driving a tube filled with dynamite, with black powder into the earth. All that is just talking about the same thing, the potential in human nature, social potential in human nature, black powder. It says he filled it up and he blew up the world that was before and separated the moon from the earth. Now, we shouldn't go and study his teaching. Now, this is not an invitation to go and study what he said. because it's a spider's web, a maze, and everything else like that. There is no guarantee how you are going to come out, or if you are ever going to come out at all. It is worse than a trip through the darkness of the revelation of John the Revelator. I think he is in the book of Revelation. I'm actually afraid of some of this stuff. You know, I see it, and I see real trouble. I cut myself off from it right away. But it was a mixture of just everything, just threw everything together. We're talking about a Frankenstein monster. He made it talk, too. Frankenstein. He was made from parts, dead parts, found here and there. The scientists put it all together and shot it up there to the clouds and waited for a lightning bolt to wake the thing up. The four faces were as though the faces of living creatures, and we compared that with the Kaaba, and we said that the center of that, in its most essential part, it represents the dynamic social nucleus for human life and society. Now, what are the parts? The four most important parts of that nucleus. What is the most important part of that nucleus? The Khalaqa, Fasawa, Qadra, Fahadda. You see, if someone makes it their business to exploit, you can see what they can do to society. If society is not hip, has not caught on to be alert to catch them before they make too much trouble. So that's the Satan. The cross represents human potential. The Satan crucifies us upon that potential. So that's the Satan. Now, we know Satan. Satan said he'll come at them from before and then from behind and then from the left and from the right. And the cross is not intended to be a bad sign of suffering and shame. It is a sign of this potential in man. And the Satan crucifies us upon that potential. But that potential is good. It's a sacred cross. Don't quote me on this now. This is just for us. I'll have a storm of crazy people coming at me. I called the Christian cross sacred. I'm not calling their cross sacred. I'm calling the true cross sacred, the true cross. If their cross is the true cross, then I'm calling their cross sacred. Now, there are symbols of our potential given as the sun and the moon. In the study of mythology, I came across evidence of preoccupation with this subject in Egyptian mythology. And in the Quran, Pharaoh is given as one who threatened to crucify, right? Those that were being influenced by Moses, he said he would crucify them. Now, who mentions the ancient Egyptians as people who crucified or executed people upon the cross? Nobody. I haven't heard any other than Quran. But when I was over there, I got some books on mythology, and Egyptian mythology is one of them. I came across what I believe to be the cross in that mythology. And when I was over there, I examined the etchings, the hieroglyphics on their monuments. There are ruins over there. And in some places, the cross just clutters the walls and ceiling. A lot of crosses. They had pictures of cows, and the cows that's completely decorated with crosses. The Imam is into mythology, explaining mythology to us. That's my information on what is being presented. The Imam introduces Osiris and Isis. They are my commentary. They are a part of Egyptian mythology and Greek mythology also. Osiris and Isis. In this Egyptian mythology, Osiris's daughter, I believe, might have been also his wife. You know how mythology is. Sometimes the daughter becomes the wife. She lies in wait for her father on his route. And as a snake, she poisons him. Her name is Isis. Now, this is by interpretation, too. That's why, again, I have to say it's my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion of the interpretation of this piece of Egyptian mythology. He's following a definite path, and then she crosses, and then she comes and crosses him. She crosses him. She lies in wait for him, and I see her as crossing him. I mean crossing him by visual conception. I see her crossing him, and she poisons him. The moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand. Isis may also be symbolized as the moon, you know, and Isis, the very name hints of coldness. And she, I'm sure, in this mythology, she's the snake, cold-blooded. She's a snake. The snake, as a symbol, is bad and good. It's not all bad, either. It is more good than bad. In medicine, the snake is used as a symbol. Two snakes, isn't it? In my opinion, Isis represents the spiritual sciences. And the spiritual sciences come and cross the social sciences. Osiris represents the sun in that mythology. Now, how in the world can the moon defeat the sun? It doesn't look like it would be possible. But the moon eclipses the sun, right? They try with mythology to make a theater out of these natural phenomena. They put it in theater to address what's happening in our lives. So, the prophet, the Meccans wanted to bribe him, right? And the prophet said, if you could give me the moon in my left hand, some argue it was the other way around, but I'm inclined to believe that. Yes, it was the moon in my left hand. If you could give me the moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand, I would not stop this mission. Who was the prophet talking to? Who? A bunch of ignorant people? They would laugh at him, wouldn't they, if he was just talking to the ignorant people. It wouldn't mean anything to them. He's talking to the wise among them. In the metaphysical sciences, if you could give me the moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand, and I imagine it wasn't too many of them around in that dark age, but I guess he said, you out there, hear this. Now, look at the moon. We mark the calendar by the phases of the moon. Let us look at the moon. The Muslims have made the new moon a symbol, almost like the cross for them. Almost like the cross. Not exactly, but I think they introduced that to be for them a challenge, or their challenge to the cross. Our crescent is the challenge to your cross. To mean the new moon can never be a symbol for the cross. And if you have followed me in what I've been saying this morning, you know I can't. We're talking about one aspect when we talk about the moon. We're not talking about the nucleus. I think they made a mistake when they introduced the symbol, the moon. The symbol. Because now we're competing with people on their level and on their terms. You are telling them, I buy your language. And that's a big mistake. That's why you saw me. I finally removed it, didn't I? I removed it because I saw it. I saw it was a big mistake. The moon. When the Western world was turned on by the sciences of Islam to go back and restudy and dig up ancient wisdom, knowledge, the sciences, and look for new direction for themselves, they saw the moon as the ruler in their society. They then gave their attention to defeating the rule of the moon in their lives, so that the sun could rise for them. And they were successful with the rational sciences and taking the role of the church off of them. They were successful in bringing about the Renaissance, which as I see as definitely the return of the sun to its place and the moon to its small place in the night. I pause now. If any of you have any reflections, anything you would like to share at this time, I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. We have shared a large volume of information here, and I suggest in the study classes that we hold here on American Muslim 360 Saturday morning. We study the addresses and lectures of Imam Waqidi Muhammad. And then we share what Allah has blessed us with from out of these valuable addresses and lectures so that we can utilize the value of the principle or whatever the value of it in our personal and community lives. But at every session, I always suggest, if we would, to bring pen and paper with us so that we can take down notes, because usually there is a large volume of valuable information being shared, and you may not retain it all after it is given. So anyway, I suggest that when we come to the contemplators of Imam Muhammad, if we would bring a pen and paper with us so we can take notes. And even if you don't share them all over the air, you can go back and reflect over those notes that you left yourself. Praise be to Allah. So anyway, let me pause now for some valuable public service announcements. I ask you at this time, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
And now, an important message from the Conveners of Imams, associated with the community of... And now, an important message from the Conveners of Imams, associated with the community of Imam Warith Deen Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as a broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses that help us to see and understand an even deeper and systemic, long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement in which we say no more. You must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community, inviting experts to learn more and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? This has been a public service message from CWSC and EM360. Peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum.
And we are back. Praise be to Almighty God. I really favored that PSA right there. And speaking of the respect for women, I have a co-host here at Contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam, and also Imam Michael Hamhami. I think Mahasan may have joined us now. Let me see if this is her. Hold on, please, because I would truly enjoy her help and her assistance. Air Force 347-751. Is this Mahasan?
This is she.
Praise be to Allah. Oh, it's good. It's good to hear your voice, Mahasan. I'm grateful you are with us this evening.
Praise be to Allah. I thank Allah for allowing me to come, and my big apology to you. There's so much going on in our community that is so beneficial for us. So I'm in an educational construction sort of seminar, and I kept trying to get away after I got your wake-up call about it. So I'm free now. I had to come away so that I could be present and accounted for here. How are you doing, Yamker?
Well, as of right now, I'm doing fine. I'm in good spirits, praise be to Allah. You know, I'm doing fine today, praise be to Allah.
Just let me know, jumping in, to help you.
Huh?
I said, just let me know so I can make myself available to help you in whatever way you need.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Okay, we are sharing from out of the Ramadan session that we shared from last week, Ramadan session 1992. It was held in Little Rock, Arkansas. And yes, ma'am, and I have reached page 44 where the imam is explaining the statement by our Prophet Muhammad, if you could give me the moon in my left hand and the sun in my right.
Yeah.
So if you are familiar with that. So if you could begin there, that will give my voice a rest. We invite everyone to press one on your phone to join in this endeavor and celebrate that we are sharing the thinking, the logic, the contemplation, and the wisdom of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. So if you have any statements or questions, feel free to please join in. All right, Muhammad, alhamdulillah.
All right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. there's no God worthy of worship and honor except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad was 1,400 years ago, over 1,400 years ago, is his servant and messenger, a prophet to us, and the seal of the prophet, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Just a little housekeeping. We do welcome you to push the 1. That will let us know that you have a question or an idea you would like to share. And we ask that you assist us in shaping the time more beneficially and productively by limiting your comments to no more than 2 minutes, inshallah. And we will try to meet you at that same structure and limit our contribution, commentary, and tafsir also. Alhamdulillah, titled, page 44 begins, "The moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand." Isis may also, Imam Muhammad said, be symbolized as the moon, you know, and Isis, the very name, hint of coldness. And she, I'm sure, in this mythology, she's the snake, cold-blooded. She's the snake as a symbol, is bad and good. It's not all bad either. It is more good.
Mahatham?
Yes.
Mahatham?
Yes, I'm here. I'm hearing
But I'm thinking that something is wrong with my phone or either these earplugs, because your volume keeps going up and down. I don't think it's you. I think it's the equipment that I'm using.
Okay, and it's also repeating as though it's recorded, and it repeats the same thing that I'm saying.
You are hearing and... Are you hearing an echo?
Yes, I am. It's
on speakerphone?
I am, but I don't hear it anymore. So maybe it's not. Want me to continue?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let's see who's really playing games. With our technology here. We ask Allah's help. So Imam Muhammad continues. He said, it is more good than bad. He's talking about the snake, And in medicine, the snake is used as a symbol. In his opinion, Imam Muhammad, Isis represents the spiritual sciences, and the spiritual sciences come and cross the social sciences. Osiris represents the sun in that mythology. Now, how in the world can the moon defeat the sun? It doesn't look like it would be possible, but the moon eclipses the sun, right? They try with mythology to make a theater out of these natural phenomena. They put it in theater to address what's happening in our lives. So the prophet, the Meccans, wanted to bribe him, right? And the prophet, he said, if you will give me the moon in my left hand, some argue it was the other way around. But I'm inclined to believe that. Yes, it was the moon in my left hand. So he said, if you could give me the moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand, I would not stop this mission. Who was the prophet talking to? Who? A bunch of ignorant people? They would laugh at him, wouldn't they? If he was just talking to the ignorant people, it wouldn't mean anything to them. He's talking to the wise among them in the metaphysical sciences. If you could give me the moon in my left hand and the sun in my right hand, and I imagine it wasn't too many of them around in that dark age. But I guess he said, you out there, hear this. Now, look at the moon. We mark the calendar by the phases of the moon. Let us look at the moon. The Muslims have made the new moon a symbol, almost like the cross for them. Almost like the cross, not exactly, but I think they introduced that to be for them a challenge, or to challenge to the cross, their challenge to the cross. Our crescent is what we call the new moon, is a challenge to your cross. To me, Imam Muhammad said, the new moon can never be a symbol for the cross. And if you have followed me in what I've been saying this morning, you know it can't. We're talking about one aspect when we talk about the moon. We're not talking about the nucleus. And I think they made a big mistake when they introduced the symbol, because now you're competing with people on their level and in their term. Wow. You're telling them, okay, I buy your language. And that's a big mistake. That's why you saw me. I finally removed it, didn't I? I removed it because I saw it was a big mistake. And I want to interject that. Yes. I wanted to interject and remind us.
We have a listener on the studio board.
Okay. Let me complete this sentence and we can go right there. Okay? I remember when Imam Muhammad discouraged them from using the symbology of the crescent moon as an indicator of Islam, right? Now, we still haven't fully rid our community of that association. In other words, there are still times in our media, what do we call it, projections and promotions and marketing materials, where we still are introducing that crescent as a symbol that has validity for us in Islam. But we should know and share with each other that Imam Muhammad discouraged that. Okay, Brother Kareem, can you bring in our caller?
Okay, all right. Erico 727408. Assalamu alaikum. You said your name, where are you calling from?
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Alhamdulillah. Glad to hear my brother, Professor Hamid, and Sister Mahasan. Praise be to Allah. Two great minds. Alhamdulillah. All right, but there's something that really I'd like to share. Knowledge. Alhamdulillah. Knowledge filtered by the Quran and the lifestyle of the Prophet. Scientists, doctors, and others are a benefit. Wealth for purification, tools for the best education, leaders having mutual consultation. Imam Muhammad blessed with prophetic insight, money for community life. Allah will give us more. He don't want us to be poor. Getting out of share, doing for self. Our soul must be free. Creation will give us what we need to establish peace and supply neighborly needs, a war on poverty, freedom to grow and prosper, business person coming together, economic slavery, we must benefit from financial literacy, government programs to help us. Common sense is the trust. We don't believe in luck. Money is being made in a corrupt culture. Our youth being economically enslaved. Hip-hop is destroying their future. Understanding is what we thirst. We are dealing with the four birds by keeping our life first. That's the elimination.
Lahu Akbar. Wonderful, wonderful. I think a lot of
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah.
All right, all right.
Powerful language. We're going to continue. We don't lose the train of thought in the explanation Imam Muhammad is giving us about the moon. Okay?
I like that.
Thank you, Brother Bilal. Thank you so much. Remember, the moon continues. The moon, when the Western world was turned on by the sciences of Islam, go back and re-study and dig up ancient wisdom, knowledge, the sciences, and look for the new direction for themselves, they saw the moon as the ruler in their society. They then gave their attention to defeating the rule of the moon in their lives so that the sun could rise for them. And they were successful with the rational sciences and taking the rule of church. They were successful in bringing about the Renaissance, which, as I see it, definitely the return of the sun to its place and the moon to its place, small place in the night. Imam Kareem, that is powerful as an interpreter.
Yes. You know, when we look at history, one of the reasons for the search for a new Jerusalem, as they called it, there was a great upheaval in Europe because of the dominance of the Church of England.
Yes.
People were not able to follow their religious consciousness. You could be imprisoned if you differed with the Church of England. So we do see, right. So we see that they were successful in getting out from under the cold rule of the Church of England. I'll stop right there, my sister.
It's beautiful, beautiful analogy, you know. And when we hear about, this is what I'm thinking, when we hear about history and we respond to things that sort of evidence progression, progress, or like the Renaissance, and the Muslims pop their collar at being those who instigated the movement of the Renaissance, actually, it was their expression about Al-Islam that, and the Quran, bringing the Quran to light and showing how it affected productivity in the life of the Muslim when they utilized it, right? So the Europeans or those who were in the Dark Ages could see their light. And, of course, they were curious. Well, how is it that you all got light? Can we get some of that? You know, and so it resulted in that advancement. But in Imam Muhammad's concerns that he brings in the book of mythological concepts, the burden on America and the West, he explains and clarifies how the role of superstition was used to render the common person to a level of ignorance that he, but by the grace of God, he would not have been able to escape permanent ignorance. It hadn't been for the light of Allah that Allah asked for the Muslims to share. And they did. They didn't just hold it to themselves. And it rescued those who were descending out of the darkness of the dark ages and brought them up to the middle ages and eventually into the Renaissance. Interesting. We'll continue. So now let's look at the phases. He's talking about the phases of the moon. The moon starts actually from death. And the symbol of that death is blackness. When the moon is all black, we can't see it. It is in the moon as a living thing, growing, but it isn't out of the womb yet. The first sign of the new crescent, presence of it in the world, birth in the world. Then it goes for 2 weeks. 1 week, it gets to be half. The second week, it gets to be full. That's 2 stages. Then it begins waning, and it goes through 2 more. Waning means reduction. Now, the first stage, first presence of the moon that we can visualize is our indication that we should start the month of Ramadan, if it's the Ramadan moon, right? Subtitle, Allah made darkness and light. Imam Muhammad said, and for the other, Eid Adha, there's Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Now, the Bible gives the moon, if you study it, read the language carefully, it says something that's hard to understand. Like the moon was made first before the sun. The moon is an older body than the sun, and it begins the creation, not with morning, but with night, the evening and the morning. It puts evening before morning. Evening and morning was the first day. Evening and morning were the second day. Is this contradictory to what we know in the Quran? No. Ja'ilat dhulumati wan nur. And he made the darkness and the light. Darkness first. So the moon for us, the calendar for us, and the new moon in the month of Ramadan is the beginning of the fast. And the new moon of the next month is the celebration. But for Eid al-Adha, which I'm associating with the sun, and Eid al-Fitr with the moon, for Eid al-Adha, the Hajj begins quarter moon. And it is a growing moon. The pilgrimage may be as short as 2 or 3 days sometimes, but normally it's about 5 days to do anything. That's important. The sign for it is important. Subtitle, equal of our creation. Muslims, Imam Muhammad states, have to believe also in the inequality of man because God rewards whom he pleases, what he pleases. What do we have here in the intellect? We have the phases of the moon, four phases. The first phase is creation, character. The moon representing the Khalika. Phases representing Siwai. It's obvious we're in the second phase, the Siwa. That's the sign to go make Hajj. Go and meet each other. And the most sacred part of the Hajj, I would say the most important part of the Hajj, is the meeting on Arafat. And that's where we see the Siwa. Baina, myself and my brother, no matter where he's from. So that's the social foundation for us, social foundation for our unity is that we regard each other as equals, equal creations of God, equal in terms of our creation. That's the only equality. From there on, we start to be unequal. This world is crazy talking about equality. There's no equality in your house. It's not. The only equality is the rule that you live by, the rule of respect or the rule of authority there, that all of you regard it and respect it. That's the equality. Equality before the law. So that's the equality. The equality of our creation. That's what talks about in our Constitution. Equal creation that God gave all of us, the same creation, the same possibilities. But Muslims have to also believe in the inequality of man because God rewards whom he pleases as he pleases. And we are to respect God's will. God has made one of us a leader for another. We have to respect that. We're supposed to serve that leader just like we follow God's order. Now, we aren't in that shape yet. We hope to get in that shape one day so we can have that kind of appreciation Allah wants. That we don't look at the man. We look at what Allah wants. Imam Kareem, any lights going on?
No, but let me say this. You are, and thank God for your sharing, but part of it is as if you are whispering.
Okay.
You know, I can hear you, but I have to strain to hear those ending words. It's almost like you're whispering. But
okay.
Okay. I want to bring that
to you. I'll try to improve on that. Okay. Let's
pause now for a public service announcement. We are behind on that. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. We are grateful to all of you that tune in. For the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. We ask you at this time, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anh, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Just 12 years old. Mama's cracked, daddy's smacked, brother's cracked, sister's jacked.
And Rand, we are back. Mahatma Abdul Salam. Praise be to Allah. Mahatma, is your phone on mute?
Yes, it was. Thank you. I'm back now. All right, so I'll try to make sure it doesn't descend into a whisper. Thank you, Brother Imam. So we're going to continue Imam Muhammad's explanation about what he was saying in subtitle, Eid al-Adha is the bigger Eid. Eid al-Adha is the bigger Eid. And Eid al-Fitra is the lesser Eid. The moon is never bigger than the sun, and the fast is a fast between you and your God, isn't it? But that Hajj is a Hajj for you and your brother, isn't it? Although you are single in there, too, in terms of being responsible for carrying out the ritual, you're supposed to be on your own, not supposed to have that tawaf. That's charity to you, not the tawaf. Call the one that leads you tawaf, you are supposed to be your own Tawwab. And I'm sure we are. No matter what help you get, you're saying private things for yourself. You're saying that even, saying that, that even he doesn't hear your brother. Why would the Imam spend all this time on this? I know. You all know the difference between the spiritual life and the social life. When you see what Allah said, and when you see the importance that he has placed on it, it puts us in a better situation to be the kind of people we want to be on this earth. If we believe in God, and we do believe in God, phase being the character, and the second phase being the social life, where we are to identify equally, and there is no possibility for a good running community or society without us agreeing on some idea of our equality, right? How are you going to have success as a people, community, or society if you want some idea of your equality? Once you come up with some idea of your equality, then you can have unity, cooperation, and progress. Look at how important equality is for the concept of this society. Quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator." Unquote. They are talking about the separation of church and state. Isn't this important to the Constitution? This is supposed to be the introduction, foundation for the Constitution, isn't it? Yes. The introduction for the Constitution is supposed to be the foundation. Everything else develops as a consequence of that kind of conception, that kind of perception, as I understand it. It says, quote, "endowed by their creator with inalienable life," unquote. Isn't this the same language thing? Not to say that's equal to what Allah has given us in the Quran. No. What I'm saying, if you can't see that as the same subject matter, then something is wrong. Either the moon and sun both have gone out, or they are crossing each other. That is what they don't like about Imam Muhammad says. These so-called scholars in Islam that differ with me, this is what they don't like. Why don't they like that? Because that deprives them of their dominance, deprives them of their slaves. They don't want the people to be free. So they are our enemy. They stand in the way of progress, true Islamic equality and freedom. So I ignore them, Imam Muhammad said. I don't exchange any words with them anymore. They criticize me, I don't even reply. Sometimes I publish what their criticism is. I tell Sister Aisha, put it in the paper. I give her a couple of things to put in the paper last week. They don't like what I say. I put it in the paper. I'm not even going to reply to it because I know I'm on solid ground and I know Allah is with me. So I want the people to see what they plan to, see what they're saying, and they're going to kill themselves with their own mouths. Go see them. You don't like the imam because he says that? Show them. That's to make me feel comfortable yet. But I am getting an indication that it's a real interest among them, and I think it's among the young more than the older ones, but a few of the older ones too. And that'll be great. Not that I'm so wise, but obviously these people haven't been connected. They have been separated from their sources, of knowledge, and Allah bless us to get into it. Yeah, I'm sure he means to be connected. And we bring out what they should bring out if they had been turned on. I'll tell you about one man that really appreciates my leadership and has great faith in it. He has his business, the old man out there in California. He's getting weak. Muhammad Abdullah, who was and is by association Ahmadiyya, but he never admits it, or says he's Ahmadiyya. He always acts as though he's with them because of circumstances that he just happens to be born among the Ahmadiyya community and has served the Ahmadiyya community until now. However, he has never accepted to be outwardly or publicly seen as an Ahmadiyya leader or anything like that. He never accepted anything like that. So the only community he belongs to is the Ahmadiyya community. But at the same time, he handles himself in a way to keep anybody from identifying him as an official member of the Ahmadiyya community, which says a lot about him. That's his way. And he's an old man with a lot of exposure to a lot of different knowledge sources. He met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I happened to be at the house at that time, and I met him. He was there, sitting at the table, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, quote, "Well, this is my son. I have him in Philadelphia now," unquote. So after the meeting, he wanted to meet me because he was living in Philadelphia. So I met him and we formed a friendship. And until now, we still have a friendship and a respect for each other. But he has some complaints against me. I have some complaints against him. If you go to him and ask him, what do you think of Imam W. Dean Muhammad? He won't hesitate to tell you that, oh, he's right. He's good. You all are favored to have him. He'll tell you that. He prefers me to his own people. That's a fact. He told me, he said, quote, "When I die, I hope you will do the janazah. I don't want my people to do the janazah." That's what he told me. I told him, "You might outlive me." And he might, who knows? But that's the way of our prophet, always, to encourage a person to believe that they're going to be healthy, good, and never tell them anything bad to make them sad. Alhamdulillah. Allah Akbar. Title. Allah has predetermined everything. Imam Muhammad says, so the siwa and then the qadara, sorry for the mispronunciation, the qadara, the night of power. Some will say that the qadara fahadda, they will say that not to be related to the night of power. Qadri, it's to be seen as the Qadr. The Qadr is the ordinance of God, something like divine providence. What is the meaning of divine providence? Human influence, right? Yeah. So that's maybe not perfect, but I think that's a better expression than predestination. Actually, we're not to believe in any predestination, although Allah has predetermined everything. We know that. But for man to believe in predestination is to give himself to fatalism, the Islamic world over there, inshallah, right into fatalism. So the Qadar, and the Qadr are to be studied together. Let nobody tell you they're different. The Qadri, the Qadr, the power, and the Qadar are to be studied together. The only difference is the sign, the vowels, markings, right? Al-Qadri, night of power, and Qadr, hardly ever say Al-Qadr, just Qadr. When you look at these two words, if I don't put sign, you can't tell which one. But when I put the signs on it, the vowel sign, this is Al-Qadri, Laylatul Qadr. But Al-Qadru, and this is Qadar, or Qadaru. As a noun, Qadaru, as a noun. Put Al, and it is Al Qadaru. But the basic is essentially the same letters, just a difference in sign. This one represents Al Qadri, Laylatul Qadri. I want to put the sign like it is in the surah. Now, Qadri is the night of power. Laylatul Qadri is the night of power. And Al-Qadr is the ordinance, divine ordinance. So this is by God's decree. By God's decree in creation itself. He has inscribed in the creation itself of man's social nature that he has this Qadr. خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى قَدَّرَ فَهَدَّى. Qadra is a verb. And it's the verb shadda, isn't it? Qaddara. That's for emphasis, doubling that. continent. The form is basically the same, but it has an emphasis, kaddara, with shadda, khalaqa fasawwa, kaddara, power, mahadda. Now, it says, quote, and a certain woman put yeast in 3 measures of meal. That's Christian scripture. A certain woman, she put yeast in 3 measures of meal. Unquote. And Brother Kareem, there's something making noise. I'm not sure what it is. But we'll ask our listeners to please mute.
Well, they are all muted. Yes, their mics are closed. Michael is with us at this time. His mic is muted. So I don't know where the disturbance could be coming from.
Okay. Well, I don't hear it anymore. So we'll continue. Okay. So the Christian scripture says, a certain woman, she put yeast in 3 measures of meal. 1, chalaka. 2, sawa. 3, kaddara. Potential. Aren't we supposed to make connections with the scriptures that came before? Yes, and we know that as Muslims, we're supposed to study and make connections with the previous scriptures, the Torah and the Injil, or the Old and New Testament. Quran is the exegesis. Quran is the exegesis, not what they have. So Qadara, and he gave the potential. Doesn't that make sense? He created the human family, Allah did, and established their equality, gave them their potential, and thereafter their guidance. Now, if that isn't just perfectly clear language, why do we want to make something out of that? It needs no translation or interpretation. It just needs us to read the words as they are. Now, they don't like that we read the words as they are. Well, Imam Muhammad says they can lump it.
On that note, I think we'll take another another public service announcement. Okay. Praise be to Allah. If they don't like it, you can lump it. I remember that. Alhamdulillah. You listen to American Muslim 360. This is the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Waliruddin Muhammad. The facilitator this evening is our beloved Mahasan Abdul Salam. We ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ni'mat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, because there is no
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum. And we are back, Mahasan, alhamdulillah. Yes, I was really moved by the imams, and if you don't like it, you can lump it.
He was speaking the language of the people so we understand. Keep it real, okay? So, if there are no urgent taps into come into the queue, we can go on. Do you see any?
Yep, I see. This is Michael Hamid. His hand has been raised quite a good while. He's been listening. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael Hamid. Take your phone off of mute, please. 334-419.
Alaikum assalam. I don't have any comments. I appreciate you bringing me in.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, where is we give you the agrees, praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mahasa and myself. We are grateful that you are present this evening. And thank you, my brother. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. So we'll take up with the subtitle, Improved Vision Gives You a New Vision. Sawa Qaddara Fahadda. The guidance comes in that potential. Remember, he's talking about the potential created in the human nature. Imam Muhammad says, so the first two phases of the moon, Khalaqa Fasawwa, then it starts to reject all that has been learned, all it has learned. It starts to die to the vision that it had before. It starts to get rid of it little by little. Now, don't get rid of all of it. Take what you got and go back home and work. That's the Hajj. You make the Hajj and you don't wait for the moon to die. No. Go back while it's still waning, reducing. Go home and work. Now, and while the moon is yet waning, we're celebrating the rebirth. We have broken from the moon now. The moon is dying, but we weren't. We're being born again, yes, because every Hajj is a new rebirth. Philosophically speaking, isn't it? I'm sure you read that of the scholars. Every Hajj is a rebirth, and the Eid represents our rebirth. It means that when we go there, our vision is supposed to be improved, and improved vision gives you new vision. You might not change a lot of things. It doesn't mean you change the purpose in your vision, but you have a new vision and no way you are, excuse me, but you have a new vision, a new way, I think that's a typo, new way you are, you going to get new enlightenment, and no way are you going to get new enlightenment and not have a new vision. Alhamdulillah. additional enlightenment makes you have new vision. It's not the same vision anymore. Subtitle, we're supposed to meet on Arafat and discuss common situations and problems. So Imam Muhammad says that every time we have an opportunity to meet with the learned from all over the Islamic Ummah, we are supposed to meet with them and discuss. They are not doing what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to meet with them and discuss common situations, common problems. And when we come out of there, we all come out of there with more knowledge, more understanding, more insight, and can go back home and improve our world. That's why that part is more important than any other part on Arafat. Arafat is a hill, right? It's a hill called Jabal. That's a big word, mountain. That is no mountain. It's just a hill. In real language, it's just a hill. The word mountain is used for it, the Mount of Arafat. Now, maybe if we look at the whole elevation there, maybe it is a mountain. But from where we move to it in the ritual, it's a hill. And do what they're supposed to do, and that is welcome their brothers from different parts of the world. And then say, now, let us discuss the situation for the Ummah in the world. Common problems, common situations. Brother, you're from Africa. Who will speak for the African delegation? Who will speak for the American delegation, for China, and then speak, and then everybody has an opportunity to address the concern that was raised by the delegate. Subtitle, we should establish shura once or twice a year. So Imam Muhammad says they come back with much better resources and vision for attending their needs in their respective places. That's the purpose of it. And even if we don't make Hajj, we're supposed to have that. That's shura. That's why I say we should establish shura for ourselves in this country and have correspondence. And at least one time in the year or twice in the year for a shura body to meet. We haven't done that yet. And you all should do that. Now remember, this is the Tafsir from 1992. I believe, right, March 1992, when he was saying that. The 25th, we'll meet there. But I didn't know it's going to be a shura. We'll make it. That's what we should make it, a shura meeting. The Eid is the 10th day of the month. If you stay for the full time, when you come back home, it's about a full moon. By the time you get to your country, it's a full moon, especially back then. I'm sure when they got home, it was a full moon. But the Eid is on the 10th day. The 9th day is the day on Arafat. On the 9th day, that's the most important part of the Hajj, the day of Arafat. And the 10th day is the day of sacrifice. And that's the Eid. So the Eid is a special day for us. The 10th day, the 9th and the 10th days are the two special days, the most special days. The 9th day, the most special day of the Hajj itself. And then the Eid is the celebration. And the Eid means new life, new happiness. All right. Subtitle, Don't Die Except as a Muslim. The last phase would be guidance, right? The last phase of the so-called moon. And with guidance, aren't we supposed to die? Allah gives us guidance. Aren't we supposed to die to our own thinking? So after Allah's guidance, you empty your head and start all over again. That's Ramadan, not Hajj. So someone made a comment. Is that what is meant when it says, die so that you may live? Imam Muhammad answered, yes, I think so. Or don't die except as a Muslim. And then Moses told them, his people, to kill themselves. He said, slay yourselves. And actually, it was that they may have life. But it doesn't actually mean kill themselves outright, take your life. It means slaughter your own mind, your own thinking. Kill your own mind and thinking so that you can have life. That must have been an awfully stubborn mind in thinking if it had to be killed. Most of us, we can just die to our own thinking. We don't have to be killed. But it shows the rebellious thinking, the resistant thinking that was in his people against him, what he was bringing, Moses, against what he was trying to bring out. Kill yourself. Slay yourself. That's the kind of deliberateness that was used as emphasis. Subtitle, you can have 1,000 moons growing in your life at one time. Imam Muhammad says, and the Quran says that for us. But actually, it's not that. It might not say, quote, that you may live, unquote. However, that's what it means. It means slay ourselves or die so that we can live. Die to our own selfish viewpoint so that we can get the guidance of God and live. And that's what I see, Imam Muhammad said, in that moon growing to fullness and then emptying out. I see it in that way first. But it is a sign for every individual's mind that his intellect grows by stages, determined by his original creation and its original potential and the potential given it, determined by his original creation and the nature of it. the nature and the potential there, going to do just what the womb does. He comes into the world with no vision at all, and he begins to grow in vision, and he reaches a point in his thinking. Now, you see, you can have 1,000 moons growing in your life at one time, although one moon is a symbol for it. And he reaches a point in his thinking where he can't go any farther. Then he has to give up that idea, back up off of it, and let it die. The nature of the human thinking mind. And he gives up on it and lets it die and hopes that he can start all over again with a new perception or new idea or something. And it just keeps repeating itself like that, filling up and emptying out. But isn't this the whole nature of man, even his spirit? Your breathing is a symbol of that. We breathe in, and we've got to give it up. Breathe in and give it up. Eat. Oh, eat, throw it out. Drink, throw it out. That's life. Take it in, reject it. Subtitle. Whatever we have in Islam should be supported by what came before. That's why La ilaha illallah is a negative. But for us, it's the foundation of all positive things. La ilaha illallah. Abraham stood out there watching the heavenly bodies, and he said, that must be the God. It is the most brilliant, brightest of them all. Speaking of the sun when it rose. When he saw it start to go out, he said, oh, no, you can't be my Lord. Then he came to the idea that his Lord is the Lord of all the worlds, the one who created everything. He came to that conclusion, and he said, La ilaha illallah. That's what he was saying all the time, wasn't it? La, la, and then he finally reached the conclusion. La ilaha illallah. You see, illallah is the positive in that negative. La ilaha illallah. So that's what I wanted to bring to your attention, that whatever we have in Islam, it should be supported by what came before. Now, we know the prophet is an extension and completion of what was given before. So, in terms of the quality of the religion and the quantity of the religion in its essentials and its benefit, we know that nothing matches Islam. Nothing matches Islam. But in terms of the subject matter should also be traceable in other religions, or at least the major religion that the Quran recognizes. So what we're talking about here, about the Kaaba, if I can't relate that to something that came before in scripture, then most likely we don't have anything. Would you agree with me? I mean, based upon what Allah revealed in the Quran. So, how are we going to benefit if we aren't willing to look for the evidence in history and scripture before and study it and question it? Because the Muslim scientists, they weren't stupid. Like these modern people that want to lead the religious following of Jesus, they didn't say, quote unquote, hands off of the knowledge of the heathen, unquote. They went and got the science of the Greeks, went and found what was left of ancient time, and they used it in their study or research material. It became a part of their research material. Now, they don't want us to read a Bible, read social studies books, interject, look what's going on in Florida, you all. Imam Muhammad says they don't want us to do anything but do dhikrs, salat, and get our toothbrushes from overseas. So, Imam Muhammad says that element among the Muslims, to me, they are the worst off of all the Muslims. So I thank you, and I conclude. Now, if you don't think that they are talking about us in their meetings, you're missing something. And they're trying to make their people think we are the rejected. I'm not saying they are supposed to be rejected. I'm saying they are supposed to be defeated. We don't want to reject them. We want to defeat them. Mashallah. I'll stop right there. We thank Allah.
Okay. If there is anyone that would like to make a statement or ask a question, we ask that you press one on your phone. Much has been given. There's a plethora of information that that Sister Mahasan has shared with us from the thinking, the tafsir of our beloved Imam Waruddin Muhammad Rahim Al-Alehi. All right, let me go to the phone now and open the phone lines of air code 972-467. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. This is Ishmael, family from Dallas. Just wanted to know, let you know I'm listening and enjoying it.
Thank you, Ishmael.
That, you know, there is a group of people out there that want to keep giving a false light of this religion, and it is our job to promote the true light. They want to celebrate the prophet's birthday and say it's more important than later to Carter. And they have a line of logic behind it, but it's a false logic. And like the Imam says, we have to be vigilant and talk against it. And this whole presentation just tells me that life is drawn out of death. So, you know, a seed is considered dead, but a plant comes out of it. Just like minds are formed from death, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman. Those minds were formed out of the death of our people. So it's just so much to be said, and I'm appreciating it. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Ishmael. Alhamdulillah, we have another person on the line. I'm going to open up the mic of 347-336. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. We got about 30 seconds of broadcast time left.
Assalamu alaikum. Is that my mic that's open? It's amazing.
No.
I'm going to show you. I think I'm trying to show us
the beauty of being connected with Allah, desiring that. Now, right after I finished the last sentence, my minutes ran out.
That's the number that went off of the board. Right. I'm your Shaheed. I noticed that.
Allahu Akbar. And Allah is, his timing is exquisite. It's divine.
Yes, you.
Right?
I
want to compliment the statement that the brother was making. Beautiful, his connection that he just made. Brother Ismail was his name?
Ismail, family.
Yes.
So
his
beautiful.
Mic is still open. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. I love the way you connected that knowledge, that statement, that awareness. And I wanted to add that, remember, this was an address given during Ramadan in 1992. And I want to ask Brother Ismail, by following the guidance and the thinking process of Imam Muhammad, have we not lived to see the day generations are embracing Imam Muhammad's contribution to the evolution of this deen and coming away from the mental construct of their predecessors? What do you think?
Ismail?
His mic is not open.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I don't see him on the board.
972, I think it is.
All right, I'm opening up the mic now. 972467, is this Ismail family?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yes, Sister Mahasan had a question for you and some statements returning to your earlier comments.
Correct. I did hear the question, and I would say yes, but it could be a lot more of younger people. And I think that's our job to make it attractive to them by different means that we have to use, whether it's combining things that they like with the things that need to be given, just interacting more with them. But I would say yes, but I think we need a lot more of our youth involved. Yeah, that's my opinion.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And otherwise, I think, as Imam Muhammad spoke of earlier in our reading today, we may see a transition. We may end up like that movie, Trading Places. You remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy, I think.
Eddie Murphy's movie, Trading Places, and we don't want to see that. Therefore, there's a big effort, I'm thinking, of inspiring our youth to take the baton and run with it on this journey that Allah configured for us. And we cannot blame or even hold back their youth coming alive due to the effect of Imam Muhammad's language, what he's been given to give us, percolating and bringing them back to life, as Imam Muhammad talked about in the comparison with what Hajj should do. And we, if we want to protect that or even just keep our potential alive and moving. I'm in agreement with you. Brother Ismail, thank me.
And I to make a comment in reference to where the imam said, you know, it quote, so what we're talking about here, about the Quran, about the Kaaba, pardon me, if I can't relate that to something that came before in Scripture, then most likely we don't have anything. Would you agree with me? I mean, based upon what Allah revealed in the Quran. So how are we going to benefit if we aren't willing to look for evidence in history and Scripture before and study it and question it? Because the Muslim scientists, they weren't stupid like these modern people that want to lead the religious following of Islam. They didn't say hands off the knowledge of the heathens. They went and got the science of the Greeks, went and found what was left of ancient times, and they used it in their study or research material. It became a part of their research material. Now, I want to comment on that in terms of what was brought to my mind, how the Kaaba focus, you know, leads us to the previous scripture identifying Prophet Suleiman, alayhi salam, in building an edifice and identifying, you know, God, I know this house is too big to contain you. Even the heavens of heaven are too big. So this deals with the idea of anthropomorphic God and other issues that have affected the human society. And Imam has told us about, well, Allah tells us how it is identifying previous scripture, correcting it, and expanding upon it. And this is something that Muslims in Spain and in other places, they did in terms of correcting the knowledge of the Greeks and others and expanding upon that knowledge. And this is something that is an invitation because of the leadership of Imam Muhammad, an invitation for us. And oftentimes I think that Allah is keeping our connection with some of the youth, keeping us not connecting with them, because they have to be guided and directed by Almighty Allah's process more so than, you know, what they may or may not get from us in these small Islamic centers and masajids, you know. But Allah is the best knower. You know, just the thought. I'll stop there.
That's deep, Michael. That's beautiful, that connection that you made. And it takes my mind to what's happening in certain arenas in our community. They are actually starting on that. I'm thinking of the Houston area, Imam Wazir Ali's community, and how he has encouraged the emphasis in Ummah development and evolution to emphasize the potential, bringing out the potential in the younger Muslims, the youth, the young adults, in terms of him divesting of leadership potential, passing the baton to them as strategically as I've observed him doing. I'm very, very impressed. The listener on the line, Brother Ismail Fahmy, is from that Texas area. I'm wondering if there is anything he would could share with us that can be identified as part of what you are asking or calling for.
Brother Ishmael?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I was speaking with my family too, but no, I'm in Dallas, so he's in Houston.
Oh, okay.
And, what Imam Kazem, and Allah be pleased with him, he, from what I've seen, he is one of the few that has produced a student. From what I may be wrong, but he has produced students that are going out and helping, and I can't say that about him. And I just hope it can be duplicated with some of our other leaders that we have. That's so important,
yeah.
to find someone and not necessarily groom them, but help them grow to come and help the community. And like I say, my main thing was another show, and my main thing is that as youth, I want them to learn, I want them to earn, and I want them to yearn, and I want them to return. You know, that's the main thing. They should have that yearning in them to come back and give back. If they can do that, that's part of the battle, you know, that we can win. That's what I am. Thank you.
There is an environment that has to be produced. I remember Imam DeLacy identifying his approach to young adults. Where, you know, the question is asked, can I share with you? That kind of spirit coming from the older members of our association is more valuable than this rigid, you know, let me tell you this. And, back in my day, you know, that does not work well in terms of inspiring them. We should be encouraging young adults, you know, to do what Brother Ishmael just said, and request of them, you know, can I share this with you, you know, and not be intrusive in terms of trying to so-called develop them, because they're going into the future, you know, our time of energy in terms of community building, you know, is waning, and their energies are waxing, you know, they're growing, you know, so we should encourage them and request of them if we have something that we think is of value to them going forward, ask them, can you share it with them, like the example of Prophet Muhammad, the example of the Quran speaks to us about. I'll stop there.
In the Imam's commentary, I think it's pointing at something that is very important for us right now. This was 1992. The Imam's commentary on the scholars will be next to the prophets in heaven.
Yeah.
And the following subject matter, released on your own recognizance, we have to admit that among the youth in this country, be they Muslim, Christian, or Jew, whatever, they have skill sets that we could definitely utilize. He says here, yes. Praise be to Allah. Oh boy, the Muslim doctor, the good Muslim doctor, he's a scholar too. He's supposed to be guarding his profession with Quran and Sunnah, and he's supposed to be feeding his profession with Quran and Sunnah. The better he knows Quran and Sunnah, the more enlightened a medical doctor he will be. And the more he will be able to help society with his skills and resources.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have seen in the history of Muslims, and even today, a Muslim who is devoted to one of the physical sciences. I hope you are catching my hints at the emphasis, where I'm placing the emphasis. a Muslim who is devoted to one of the physical sciences. But when he had an opportunity to give a khutbah, we don't see him as such at all. We see him as a pious person living, delivering a khutbah on Quran or some aspect of Islamic knowledge. We can't tell. He devoted all of his time, and he spent 60 hours in his field. We can't tell that. Looks like the only field he has is Quran and Sunnah when he's talking to us on some aspect of Quranic knowledge. That's what Allah wants. One more thing that we need. That's why I say we ought to make some money. Now, look, the earning power of the professional youth among us far exceeds, and this is my commentary, far exceeds our earning power. The success that we see the young Imam Wazir Ali having is he is in the medical field.
Yeah.
He's in the medical field, but he is very learned in Quran, Islamic sciences, and he's able to relate. He's able to transfer his professional excellence in the content of the Quran and how the Quran has helped him in that field. Through that association, Imam Wazir can call for a fundraiser. It's not just Sister Lily that fixes bean pies. It's not just, I'm just saying, it's not the brother that sells incense. When he calls for a fundraiser, surgeons show up.
Yeah.
Scientists show up.
Yeah.
Physicists. So they have what we need, but we have to stop being so dogmatic.
Yeah.
Dogmatic. You know?
What I'm hearing you say, pardon me for interjecting, is that, you know, as Imam Muhammad has characterized us, as Allah created us, as creatures of influence, and that influence has a potential that expresses itself through growth. So the comparison that you're making is beautiful, because the vacuum, your nature abhors a vacuum. And there is a vacuum existing of divine leadership.
Well, let me say this, if I may, please.
In our world. Go ahead, please.
Right. Imam Muhammad has stated, and Brother Bilal has stated it, don't you try to lead them. Let there be a natural growth, a natural evolution from their leadership. They will establish leader, and it's happening. I won't name names, but it's happening as we speak. I have seen young people talked out of the masjid here. I have seen them surrounded by us graybeards. we own them. Well, now, brother, you don't do it like that. Now, here's how it's done. Blah, blah. Now, there have been a resurgence of youth into our Islamic center. And there are people among us that we have to kind of bridle and hold them back from, you know, looking for a following. Just give them the principles and the freedom to make decisions for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, we have to. And they are there, and they are coming. Whether we, I keep my eye on trends. On trends. Islam is the fastest growing religion on earth as we speak.
Yeah.
So it's not just totally up to us. Circumstances and situations are in our favor. And they are consistently hearing Islam, Muslims, among some of the people that they idolize, some of these rap stars and carrying on, they are claiming to be Muslim and this and accepting the faith Islam. They have a greater influence than we do. So let us take a breath. Take a breath and let the natural flow of evolving take place.
Right.
Don't browbeat them.
That's right.
Accept them as they are. Don't browbeat them. Love them where they are.
Imam Kareem, you have tapped into the most advantageous advice that could possibly don't stop the flow. What is that saying that there is in the language, the common language? Just don't stop the flow. There is a natural divine flow forward.
Yes. Yes.
That it's going to happen whether we go with the flow or we go
or
against the flow. You see? But
the tide is already broke.
When it's all said and done, don't we want our name to come down on those who encouraged and assisted the flow of that divine evolution? We don't want to be one of those who are chagrined because you didn't move your foot out of the way or you didn't step to the side. And we see there are two current things, and then I'm going to quickly say this. I don't know what our timing is. But there are two, like you say, as trend watchers, monitors that I've noticed. I am an astrophysics, I just hunger for knowledge about space and astronomy. I love it. I said I was going to be doing
the way of the
grandma
telescope has really added something to that.
That's correct. And it's telling us something in the scope, right?
Yes, it is.
So this is a growth factor that is Allah is allowing, making accessible to the human nature. Right?
Yes.
So I was looking at a documentary the other night on where the space program is going. Do you know that they have taken our advice and recreated NASA now, so it's working with a younger age group as future astronauts. The age is, sit down because I know you're not ready for this, age 13 to 16-year-olds are being trained in the art of space travel, all elements of it, because science and technology has advanced to such a spectrum that the things that used to be relegated for adults or adult scientists now are middle school, really some elementary school, a part of that curriculum. And
may I share a very prominent sign, a prominent flashing light as we speak? Saudi Arabia, the government of Saudi Arabia, there is one of a female from that country.
Yes, you're correct.
That is an astronaut as we speak.
Yes.
Also,
she is.
Also, the age 13. There is a young African American male, 13 years old, that have graduated from some of the highest institutions of learning in this country. And
mm-hmm.
guess what his name is?
Hmm.
Elijah Muhammad.
Yes.
Do we see?
That's right. And for her to have the freedom to enroll and train as an astronaut, she had to do it in the country of India. Because, you know, they won't let women drive in Saudi Arabia, let alone inhabit a rocket trajectory.
No, but from what I understand, Saudi Arabia is her base. I mean, that's how it is being propagated, you know, that she is a Saudi citizen, a female.
Yep. Yes, she is.
But
she
has had to take advantage
of the training in India's space program.
Mm-hmm. Now, all I'm saying is that for real, no one is the sole possessor of knowledge. Knowledge is the lost mm-hmm. property of the believer. So regardless of where she comes from on the earth, you know what I'm saying? So
no,
anyway,
the reason,
I'm just,
the reason,
just looking at
Brother,
the,
Kareem, the
reason
why I'm
just,
mention that. Listen,
I'm
the
just
reason
mentioning,
why I mention that is not to refute anything, but to say that she had to step out of her environment, her base, in order to access that training. And Allah provided her that opportunity. Now, that's such a blessing.
It's
and
like
those
many
teenage astronauts, their target is colonizing Mars. So
what you shared,
we may have about 3 minutes. We are half an hour over. I don't want us to cut us off right in the middle of this wonderful commentary that everyone is sharing. Praise be to Allah. What Mahasan shared is
parallel to what we're seeing amongst us. And
yeah.
I'd like to lastly say that, like many other communities. We need to start paying attention to the very young people and identifying the sober focus and interest in the religion, science, and so forth in terms of identifying our future leaders. You know, we've got our young adults, but we need to look, you know, and study and protect these young children that are developing in our mix to see where the leadership amongst the males and the females is that's coming up.
We need to, Imam
Michael, one of the things I'm sure this is where you're going with that, is that we need to always, it's like the phoenix. We look back to see where it is we should be going. We have to preserve and understand that this is Allah's plan. It is not a valid plan because we perceive any of it. We can see into it. It is Allah's plan because Allah is the creator of everything. So for us to keep pace with progression, we have to always remember and emphasize that what Allah plans allows him to claim that he said,
that Satan is a schemer, but Allah characterizes himself as a better schemer. He uses the same term. And he is the best planner. So it just makes us, I'm feeling so overjoyed all the time because I know Allah is in charge and nothing happens except by the will and the movement of Allah.
With that said,
okay.
I have to leave the air at this time.
Okay.
I wish we had 3 hours. Inshallah, I'll speak with Latifa and see if we can expand the hours for this conversation. It just sparks so much in our thinking, and praise be to Allah. We are grateful to those of you that tune in, and please, tell your friends, bring guests with you, that we're sharing the contemplations of one of the greatest leaders that this country has produced.
All time in the world.
We have the responsibility and the privilege, praise be to Allah, to continue to share his insight and his wisdom. So I'm grateful to you, Mahasan, praise be to Allah for your excellent presentation this evening. I'm grateful to my co-host, Michael Hamid, a great contributor towards the contemplation of the Imam Wahdati Muhammad. And we always invite the listening audience to actually join us along this journey, praise be to Allah. And we treasure your insight, what Allah has blessed you with from out of the commentary of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. We value that, and we ask that you share that. Praise be to Allah. But I don't have tomorrow's schedule. I'm sorry. I believe, in the morning, I think it is Brother William Kareem, the uploaded life, praise be to Allah. I think it comes on at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm a derelict in my duties. I should know that, but I'm doing what I can right now at this time. So we always invite you back to American Muslim 360 for the excellent programming that is presented here. We came to you with the greetings of peace. We leave you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain forever grateful and thankful. Allah asks a question of humanity in the Quran, Surah Rahmah. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Allah asks, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? May we remain forever grateful and thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We've got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, sail and prayer, Devon's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls in peace. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong.
Oh,
and let the helping hand along the But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, the stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a he lives down the street, he wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be all
right.
You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference. In any way you can, you gotta be strong. And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful. You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Cubs and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong. And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful.
They gotta be
grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of the sunshine. Stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.